What are the things that keep you up at night or wake you in the wee hours? Do you suddenly think of what you should have but didn't say in a conversation? Do you start imagining hypothetical catastrophes in alarming detail? Do you have a bunch of random thoughts and questions? Comedian Kumail Nanjiani has a comedy special called Night Thoughts. And he says night thoughts are like day thoughts, except they hate you. And as an example of a night thought, he describes ruminating on an email that he wrote, thinking, that email that you sent earlier today, you said, thanks for reaching out, good to hear from you. But should you have said, great to hear from you? I know we're not supposed to sleep with our phones at our bedside, but if you do, it's not just the blue light that will impede sleep. It's the way any random question can be Googled on the spot, not to mention the scrolling, the news or social media, generally not stuff that puts you in a state of peaceful surrender as you drift off to sleep, not to mention worries. What are the things that keep you up at night? In our gospel reading today, we get a glimpse into someone's night thoughts. Nicodemus, a religious leader and teacher, comes to Jesus for a chat, and significantly, he comes at night. Maybe it's because he couldn't sleep. Maybe he had questions and curiosity that kept him up at night. Maybe he was so eager to learn from Jesus that he couldn't wait until morning. But more likely, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he was too embarrassed, too afraid, too ashamed to come to him in the light of day. It's an embarrassing conversation. Even Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Are you a teacher, yet you do not understand?" But that's exactly the point, and that is the problem. Nicodemus is a religious teacher, and he can't make sense of this rabbi. He's a teacher, and he doesn't understand, but he's a teacher, and he's supposed to understand. Nicodemus doesn't come to Jesus during the day. He comes at night because there's something holding him back in the daytime. He's stuck in expectations of what a leader and a teacher ought to know and understand. This Lent, we're looking at some of the things that hold us back and make us feel stuck, and we're looking at how we might move toward freedom. Last week, we looked at temptation, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden, and we considered the ways that we are tempted, the ways we crave being relevant, powerful, and popular. Looking to Jesus, who entered the wilderness, temptation still damp from his baptism, with God's words calling him beloved still fresh in his mind, we considered identity as a path to freedom, being oriented toward God and motivated by remembering who we are in Christ. Today we turn to Nicodemus in John 3 and Abram in Genesis 12, and we'll be thinking about how we can be bound by certainty or a desire for certainty, and we'll see that we are freed instead by mystery. Nicodemus comes in search of certainty. He wants answers and clarity, but instead Jesus invites him into mystery. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born from above, born of water and the Spirit, and Nicodemus wants to pin it down in a literal step-by-step detail. How exactly can I be born again as a grown man, he wonders. How do I get into a womb? That seems tricky. Nicodemus wants concrete answers. He wants to understand. He wants clarity. He wants certainty, but Jesus gives him mystery. Nicodemus asks, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answers, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with anyone who is born of the Spirit." I think it's fascinating that this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus has been turned into a kind of litmus test in some Christian circles. People use the term born-again Christian to describe someone who has had a conversion experience so they can point to a before and after in the life of faith. Before, I didn't believe or didn't understand or didn't want to stop sinning, but then I saw the light, I prayed a prayer, I confessed and repented, I was born again, and from that moment, now I am a born-again Christian. Isn't it funny how we've turned something that was enigmatic and mysterious? The wind blows where it chooses. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And we've turned it into a five-step plan. That's exactly what Nicodemus was after. He would have been thrilled if Jesus had said, first, acknowledge your sin, second, repent, third, believe, fourth, confess that Jesus is Lord, five, receive the gift of salvation. That would have been so satisfying to Nicodemus. He could have written down all of those steps in his journal and followed them point by point. But Jesus won't give him certainty. He doesn't give him five steps. Instead, he gives him mystery. You must be born of the Spirit. But the Spirit can't be controlled or predicted. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. It's a mystery. Jesus is telling this teacher he doesn't need more information, more knowledge, more certainty. What he needs is mystery. This isn't the end of the story for Nicodemus. While he does seem to walk away from this encounter, from this nighttime conversation with Jesus, scratching his head, he does step into mystery gradually. The next time we see Nicodemus in John's gospel is in chapter 7. Other religious leaders are ready to condemn Jesus, and Nicodemus gently asks, "Aren't we supposed to have a hearing before we condemn people? Isn't that what the law states?" He knows the law, of course, so even though he's asking a question, really what he's doing is reminding his colleagues of what they know but are choosing to ignore. It's not a terribly bold move on the part of Nicodemus, but it is an act of faith, gently asking, is this right? Is this what we believe? Is this what our tradition teaches us to do? And then later, after Jesus is crucified, we see Nicodemus one more time in the Gospel of John. In chapter 19, Nicodemus brings spices to anoint Jesus' body after his death. Actually, it says he brought 100 pounds of spices, so he's no longer operating covertly in the dark. He's fully out in the daytime as a follower of Jesus, even after his death. Nicodemus wasn't living in certainty, far from it. Now he was living in mystery, not understanding, but yet believing, not having certainty, but still showing up in ways that are faithful. Our questions are surely different than those of Nicodemus, but having questions that keep us up at night, or craving answers and certainty, wanting a clear five-step plan, or feeling embarrassed or ashamed for all that we don't know and don't understand. In those ways, we are not so different from Nicodemus. We can be wound up tight with anxiety and questions. We can also be insulated from uncertainty and fear by wrapping ourselves in a facade of confidence and certainty. But the way to freedom isn't certainty, it's mystery. Albert Einstein wrote, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom mystery is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." And author Annie Dillard wrote, "I am no scientist. I explore. Like an infant who has just learned to hold his head up, has a frank and forthright way of gazing about him in bewilderment. He hasn't the faintest clue where he is, and he aims to learn." That's the picture that Jesus gives to Nicodemus, and that's the posture he invites us to have. Not pretending that we have all the answers, not being ashamed because we don't know and we don't understand, but gazing in bewilderment. In our first reading today from Genesis, just a couple of verses, we heard the call of Abram. Abram will later become Abraham, and in him all the families of the earth will be blessed. But first, God calls him to leave his father, his home, his country. And if that's not enough, being called to leave all that comfort and familiarity and stability behind, he's not even told where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going or how he'll get there. The call is simply to go. There's a lot more that he doesn't know than he does. Abram's call isn't characterized by certainty, but mystery. If we want to begin finding freedom in Christ, we'll need to put down our certainties, release our obsessive need to know, look up from our endless ruminations so that we can lift our eyes to gaze in bewilderment. Freedom doesn't come in certainty, but in mystery. But even when we are held captive by worries and questions, when our night thoughts are in full gear, let's remember that Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. He was after the wrong things, trying to pin Jesus down and understand. But Jesus meets him anyway. Nicodemus asks for certainty, and Jesus gives him mystery. And he is transformed, not in an instant, not overnight, but gradually over time. Every bout of insomnia or worry is an invitation to turn to God's presence, to let go of the illusion of control, and to lean into mystery as we let the Spirit breathe life into our anxious souls, not giving us a map with every single step and turn on the journey, but inviting us to take one step forward in faith. So may we be like Nicodemus and bring our questions and our fear, our worry, our shame to Jesus. And may we be like Abram, willing to step forward in faith, even when the future is uncertain. May we trust the promise of God, even when the future isn't clearly mapped out for us. May we find freedom as God unravels our certainties and invites us into mystery. May we be unbound as we encounter the living God who meets us and frees us to live in love and praise. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to find you in the questions and on the journey, whether we are paralyzed by fear, wound up in certainty and control, or bound by our own ideas about how things ought to be. Lighten our burden so we can lift our heads and open our eyes so we can experience awe and wonder in your presence. Meet us in mystery today. Amen.
Please rise.